This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. A 33-year-old Sedalia man charged with killing a fellow VA hospital patient in Colombia is due back in court. Rudy Perez Jr. is charged with first-degree murder and the February 1st death of 78-year-old Robert Hill of Warsaw. The murder occurred at Truman Memorial Veterans Hospital. Perez has pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease. His attorney, David Tyson Smith, says Perez is schizophrenic. A preliminary hearing in the case is scheduled for this afternoon in the Boone County Circuit Court. Perez was arrested in Sedalia 3 days before Hill's death after a neighbor said Perez punched him in the face. He was released from the Pettis County Jail 24 hours later without being charged, but now also faces assault charges in that county. Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill is taking action to cut pay for members of Congress if federal employees are furloughed. As Jennifer Davidson reports, her action responds to the so-called sequestration, or across-the-board spending cuts.
McCaskill's bill calls for a reduction in congressional salaries once federal furloughs begin. As the first year of sequestration begins, many federal workers are expected to be subject to furloughs because Congress and the White House did not reach an agreement on a deficit reduction plan. In a release, McCaskill says she's introducing the legislation with fellow Democrat Bill Nelson of Florida. She says in that release that, quote, there's absolutely no reason members of Congress should exempt themselves. End quote. The sequestration was supposed to be so unattractive an option that it would prompt Congress to act in order to avoid it. However, Congress has not found a solution, so the cuts will affect public schools, national parks, Border Patrol, the military, and other federally funded programs. I'm Jennifer Davidson.
Missouri Secretary of State Jason Kander says some businesses are receiving a phony letter that appears to come from his office. Kander's office says the letter comes from an entity called Corporate Records Service. He says it falsely suggests Missouri businesses have to complete a certain form and pay a $125 fee. Kander says the letter looks official, but is not from his office. Any official correspondence from the Secretary of State's office will contain the Missouri State seal and contact information for its corporations division. State legislation proposes Missouri power companies keep track of costs for operations and maintenance for their next rate case. The new tracker would be used to compare the difference between the costs factored into electric rates and the expenses actually incurred. The differences would be included in the calculation for electric rates when the utility files its next case with the Public Service Commission. Consumer advocates contend it would eliminate the incentive for power companies to control costs. Supporters say it would boost transparency and show how utilities are spending their money. The tracker is part of broader utility legislation. The House Utilities Committee held a public hearing on the legislation this past Wednesday and could consider it again this week. The Missouri University of Science and Technology is continuing a tradition that began in 1908. A group of Rolla students had declared that St. Patrick was the patron saint of engineers. The St. Patrick's celebration has grown to include more than a week's worth of events. The Missouri Constitution already enshrines the right to bear arms, but a state senator wants to expand that protection. The Senate General Laws Committee scheduled a vote today on the proposal by Republican Senator Kurt Schaefer of Columbia. The proposed constitutional amendment would define the right to bear arms as inalienable and require the state to defend any infringement of that right. Schaefer filed his measure shortly after President Barack Obama outlined his plans for stricter federal gun control laws. If passed by both the House and Senate, the constitutional amendment would need to be approved by Missouri voters. Since the Columbia Regional Airport announced a partnership with American Airlines last year, Frontier and Delta Airlines have said they're cutting service. Now, as KBIA's Sidney Miller reports, the Federal Aviation Administration has put the airport on notice it could lose its air traffic control tower.
The FAA says that if budget talks in Washington fail, 168 air traffic control towers across the country could be forced to close. If that happens, Columbia Regional Airport would remain operational but would need to make procedural changes. Public Works Representative Stephen Sapp says this includes using Mizzou Approach in Springfield as the communication center for takeoffs and landings in Columbia. Sapp says many airports rely on other control towers, but that there are drawbacks.
Oftentimes we have large flocks of birds, and they'll typically hold aircraft if they see a flock of those birds in the area until they're clear from the approach or departure path. That likely can't be done from hundreds of miles away.
But SAP says Columbia Regional Airport has not yet received official notice of a tower closure date.
If those budget cuts come about, then certainly we will make comment that we want to ensure the safety of people flying out of Columbia Regional, and I don't think at this point anyone should have any concerns about their safety.
The FAA says budget cuts and TSA agent downsizing also hinge on Congress's ability to make a budget deal. Sydney Miller, KBIA News.
Volunteers are trying to open a short-term homeless shelter as the room at the inn shelter closes as planned for the season. Volunteers worked last week at the shelter at the Wilkes Boulevard United Methodist Church to organize and distribute leftover donations to various Columbia agencies. Prepackaged food, clothing, and sleeping bags will be given to agencies to distribute to those in need. Room at the Inn volunteer coordinator Janet Schissner says the generosity of Columbia residents has raised awareness for homelessness considerably in the last few months. But Schissner still encourages more involvement from the community and more church groups. Schissner says First Presbyterian and Fairview Christian Church have expressed interest in hosting the program next year. The True False Film Festival drew crowds to downtown Columbia this weekend. The festival featured more than 40 films over 4 days. KBIA's Sydney Miller sends us this audio postcard from the festival.
We got your drum folks here. Drummers are going to go behind you, right?
My name's Elizabeth Bergman. We are Queen Bees. We have red tape going across our bodies, and we have these sparkly black netting skirts.
Just gather, and when we're ready to go, I'll give a signal, make a bunch of noise, and we'll start moving.
Hi, I'm Roger Giles. I'm from Columbia, Missouri. I'm with my granddaughter, Ellie Ross, and my wife, Barbara Giles.
If you come see me. When the house is clear, we'll get you guys in here as soon as possible.
I think the silly, my favorite costume is the Cat in the Hat one.
What about the lion?
Hey, we gave you props already.
Okay. Rawr!
Hi, I'm Caitlin Cunningham. I work at the Blue Note doing True False. This is my 4th year. What I love about True False is that it really brings the community together and everybody just gets to have a good time and have fun. And I think that it really lets everybody's inner fun person show, and I love that about it.
Hi, my name is Joni Zygmunt. I'm from Indianapolis, and this is my first time at True False Festival. I just saw Blackfish and I was really saddened by the movie. I'm probably going to start crying now. Never been to a documentary film festival, so it's a little bit heavier, you know, it's a little more intense. I'm doing a lot more crying at this festival, but I think it's important.
The tiaras on our
and homemade beehive wigs.
To see photos and read more about the True False Film Festival, visit KBIA.org. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Hudson.